The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live from Bar Canada at the D. What were you pointing at just now? What was that all
about? The camera up top. We had a nice little bump.
Oh, you like the overhead.
Yeah, the little overhead cam shot. Yeah.
I was wondering. All right. On the show today, Will Hill, his baseball picks of the day. Full day Major League Baseball. Can't wait for that. Jason Weingart from Under a Cloud of Smoke as well with his thoughts on MLB. Mike Pritchard, our own, on the NFL. And, of course, his alma mater, Colorado. He's got thoughts on that as well. Kelly and I will do teasers. We'll talk all things NFL. Our power rankings, our first of the year. That should be fun.
Bum, bum, bum.
See what that's all about.
Ours are wildly different.
Are they really?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, now it all depends on what did we prioritize, our priors or what we saw in week one, I guess. It's going to come
down. Well, we'll get to that later because I think that is a discussion we need to have. But me and you have always usually been on the same page with that. It was always Matt Brown who was the issue.
That guy. By the way, Matt Brown with us each and every Friday right here on the Numbers Game. I want to talk Survivor here in a minute because we haven't talked Survivor yet this week. And no one loves talking about Survivor more than I do. Just a couple things. One, hackers in town. Are you familiar? Have you been on the Strip? Have you been to an MGM property?
Okay, so yes, I have.
By the way, the hackers aren't in town. I shouldn't say it that way. Like, you're
okay,
right.
Yes, I've been to an MGM property. I'm gonna let you tell the story, and then I'll follow up with what I told you before the show.
It's not really a story. I remember seeing something on Twitter from Las Vegas Locally? Is that his Twitter handle? Because he does a great job of following everything that happens in town. And so I was rolling up to cash a ticket at the Aria yesterday, which is an MGM sports book, obviously an MGM property. And there's one of those, you know, nightclub velvet ropes blocking you off from the sports book, which never, ever have you not been allowed to even walk into the sports book. And I immediately, the Las Vegas Locally tweet jogs in my head. And I say to the guy out front, who's one of their, like, street team sign up people for their app kind of thing guys, and I'm like, oh, is this about the hacking? And he goes, well, officially, we don't want to talk. I'm like, everybody knows, dude.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of
obvious.
Everybody
knows. You don't have to. So.
Like you didn't shut down because you ran out of paper or something.
So the entire operation, like the sports book, is down. And, you know, we were talking off air, but, you know, it seems like there's people in the casino doing casino things. By the way, last night. I'm watching the Giants. The Giants lose. I've been watching sports all day, betting on tennis, which, by the way, went 1-2. We lost a match that we were up 5-2 in the third set, so that was fun. So then I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to Din Tai Fung over there at MG at Aria, and I'm going to order, you know, I'm going to do takeout like I do all the time. And because I'd forgotten all about it. Mm. I walk up there, the girl at the front desk who recognized me because I'm always there, she goes, oh, are you here for takeout? I'm like, yeah, why? She goes, yeah, we can't do takeout. If you want to eat in, we can do that.
Wait,
but, like, you can't do takeout. So, apparently, the systems of the takeout.
They can't even take an order?
You can't do anything.
Oh, my God, it's wild.
But, listen, my problems there or my two experiences there are nothing.
Yeah.
Are nothing. Like, the employees might not get paid on Friday.
Holy cow.
Every MGM employee. Apparently, these hackers who are doing all of this holding for ransom, according to Las Vegas Locally, they did it to Caesars.
Mm-hmm.
And Caesars, if you're to believe what he's saying, Caesars paid up $30 million to get around this. Now, I don't know if the Caesars thing was recently, but do you remember after the Super Bowl where no one could see their account balances?
Yep.
I wonder if that was it. I don't know. But anyway, that's what's going on in town right now.
I'm just reading up on one of the Yahoo articles on this. Yeah. One of the things that Las Vegas Locally was bringing up about that Caesars thing is that was kind of a all done kind of, you know, hush-hush because when this stuff does happen, the feds are supposed to get involved. So the FBI is involved MGM
ain't nothing hush-hush about this one. I mean, the lines at the front desk are ridiculous. People can't get out of parking lots. They're stuck in their cars for an hour. It's horrible.
Oh, my gosh.
It's horrible.
So, yeah, and I saw a video online of someone in New York, looking at some of the slot machines that were like, they all look like they're fine and working until you get up to them and they're not working. Yeah.
Well.
And before we were even talking, you and I were texting about it yesterday. Of course, I put in like four golf bets in on the app. The app was working fine.
Feel bad for the people who are here on vacation, though. I mean, that's rough.
Well, and the employees, most of all.
The employees who are taking it, too, right, from the customers. They're the ones taking the incoming.
Yeah. You're getting chewed out, and then you might not get a paycheck on Friday. Are you kidding me?
Horrible. The other thing that everybody seems to be obsessed with is who the Jets' backup quarterback is going to be. I couldn't be less obsessed with this. Like, the betting implication of it is you'd have to get get ahead of it, and then Zach Wilson would have to get benched eventually, and you think that this person that's going to be the backup is going to be good enough to get the Jets to wherever you thought they were going to go in the first place. Like, this story to me is the most overblown thing in the world.
Yeah.
I was seeing yesterday on the old X, on the old Twitter, that Washington, they're rumored to go after Jacoby Brissett. And my instinct on that was, why in the world would Washington want to trade you Jacoby Brissett? The only other person that Washington has is they have Jake Fromm State Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Fromm State Farm on the practice squad.
I haven't heard that one. I'm sure it's everybody's fantasy football names, I haven't heard that one before.
Jake Fromm State Farm is on the practice squad. You don't want to continue the season with Sam Howell and him. So, what is Chris Collinsworth's line? What are the most two important positions in football? Starting quarterback, and number two is backup quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't think that happens. Ultimately, they're going to end up with the least sexy choice and the most obvious ones, which is either going to be Case Keenum or Colt McCoy. End of story. The only thing about this story that is in any way remotely the headline is the Jets losing Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry to say, Jets fans. Now the AFC wild card picture is probably one less team muddled.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest takeaway. I'm with you. This has been we hit on it for a bit yesterday. I know we got a lot of tweets from people, and I understand it's a compelling story when Rodgers goes down. And yes, the Jets should be a great team in the AFC, but the quarterback is sorry. It's such an important position, and the AFC is so stacked. I don't know about you, but I had the Jets maybe making the playoffs anyways with Aaron Rodgers.
Like I said yesterday, remember before the season I said, if you could take 3-3 with that opening schedule,
yes,
you would take it. True
in
serum.
A heartbeat.
Now you would take 2-4.
Absolutely.
So we'll see.
Unless it's Jameis Winston, which I'll get on board for that, I think he's really in the running too, because what are the Saints doing with all these quarterbacks? Right? They still got, they got Haener and Taysom Hill and Winston and everybody. But anybody you talk about, is this guy good enough to win you a Super Bowl?
No.
I'll throw out one.
They would have had him already.
Throw out one name that I think was kind of interesting. I heard Pat Mayo bring this up. He does some work with DraftKings as well. Of watch out for 5-6 weeks from now, 4 or 5 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now. We knew this was going to be a brutal stretch for the Jets anyways. So why would you rush to do anything now and let Zach Wilson? And then maybe if you get a team like the Vikings, who are really bad, can you go get a Kirk Cousins or something for cheap? That, at least, I think is a decent quarterback we're talking about and not an absolute terrible one.
Your defense is spectacular. That's for sure. You'll always be live in that respect. But that defense, when we're handicapping these games. Speaking of which, Survivor, week number 2, for those of us who have gotten through, and 80% roughly, it's actually 79%, just shy of 79% Survivor got through. The biggest culprits in week 1, of course, being the Vikings and the Seahawks, the 3rd and 4th most heavily selected teams in Circa Survivor, and that represents usually most Survivor pools nationwide. The Commanders just getting through, or else it would have been complete carnage. Remember the percentage of Circus Survivor they got knocked out week 1 last year? Do you remember what it was?
Oh, no, I don't.
56% got knocked out week 1 last year. 21% this year. 21%+ this year.
What was that game week 1? Colts-Jags?
Is
that what it was?
I believe that was it, yes. But 56% total plus last year. So what are the options this week? And again, with the quirk of Thanksgiving and Christmas always being a consideration, let me just throw those out. Thanksgiving Day, Green Bay at Detroit, Washington at Dallas, San Francisco at Seattle, and then Christmas, Raiders at Chiefs, Giants at Eagles, Ravens at Niners, if you want to plan that far ahead. Some people are like, I don't want to plan that far ahead. What are the obvious choices this week? Well, if you go to just what's the biggest spread on the board, it would be the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, 9.5-point favorites at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. The aforementioned Cowboys are 9.5-point favorites now against the Jets. Remember, I guessed 10 yesterday, and it came out like 7.5. Remember when they were asking, now without Aaron Rodgers, what should that line be? And I said during the game, I was like 10. And yesterday it was 7.5 at this point. It's coming to the 10 now. But the Cowboys have that consideration we just mentioned on Thanksgiving. So do you really want to burn the Cowboys here against the Zach Wilson-led Jets? So I think Buffalo is an obvious choice for sure. they would, you know, they would follow the, if one of your entries is, I'm just taking the biggest favorite on the board, like you took the Ravens last week, Buffalo's that team this week.
Yeah, and you know, if we were looking ahead a week ago, right, yeah. I might say no, save the Bills, but I understand if you're a little bit concerned about what you saw on Monday night with that team, and you'd rather just get them out of the way now. I get it.
And you should also be like, you should, even if you had Washington, you should be like, oh, I got away with
right.
it.
Like I did. Yes.
And let me not get too frisky. If you did want to get frisky, though, what are the teams? There's the, you know, I have an entry that's the fade Arizona Cardinals entry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I take the Giants on the road? You know how I feel about the Giants. But this is a must.
It's a must-win game.
Week 2 must-win situation for the New York football Giants.
Who are the two we talked about? Giants and Broncos. Must-win weeks.
The Broncos are the other
one. Yeah.
So the Broncos were my other frisky team. Now, I lost on the Broncos with one of my five entries, my loss last week, because they couldn't get it done at home against the Raiders. But the Broncos is exactly where I was going, hosting Washington. How would I feel if I took them again and lost again on them? But I like, to me, that would be a friskier, if you will, survivor play.
I don't think I'm going to go big favorite. We'll talk way more about this the next couple days.
Yeah.
Obviously, Survivor, we're going to hit on heavily. I don't think I'm going with one of the big favorites. I think I'm getting frisky this week as well. And I've got a third team in mind you did not mention.
You don't want to tell me now?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, man. You really that confident in them against the Bears?
I think that Bears team sucks. I've talked about it for a couple weeks. I think this Bucs team, at least early on, could be a little feisty.
What do the kids say? You cray. I don't know if the kids say that anymore, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the Giants one, though, too. Like, I really like that
one. Well, that's the fade Arizona entry, right?
Yeah.
Either one of your entries, if you have multiple entries, should be the fade Arizona entry. Arizona gifting that game to Washington last week. We'll come back. Will Hill and more. Plus the AFC North and the AFC East shakeups after week 1. We'll look at those odds next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, where sports betting lives. Live from Bar Canada here at the D, tip of the strip, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. There it is. Look at that. Live shot of Bar Canada. No people at the bar, though, at just after 7 a.m. Pacific.
All clear.
All clear.
Come in for a drink.
Yeah, it's all there. Drinks are available, for sure. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read a couple, because one of this is a great one from Jesse Welch. Did you know this? That DraftKings has posted awards markets to Biletnikoff, Bear Bryant, and Doak Walker awards in college football. He says, I've never seen a book post those markets. I don't believe I have either. By the way, Fred Biletnikoff Award for the best receiver in college football, Bear Bryant for Coach of the Year in college football, essentially, and then the Doak Walker Award for the most outstanding running back in college football.
Just checking. Okay, Coleman 7-1, not the favorite, and Mike Norvell not the favorite. So it doesn't make any sense to me. These odds don't make sense.
No, because FSU should be the favorite in everything.
Yeah, shout out to Jesse. I tweeted it back. You know, it was fun. You know, do you remember like a couple weeks ago, the great John Goulet in here asking us about college football awards? And I was like, I haven't seen like a book post those.
Now that you mention
ever.
It. Ever. Right.
And that was literally like a week and a half ago. He was asking about that.
So,
and, yeah, Jesse brings this up. DraftKings has those posted. I don't think I've ever seen these posted before.
So alongside the Heisman, where Caleb Williams is still your short shot at he's plus money now, huh? Yeah, he's still plus money. He's 4-1. Your boy Jordan Travis is 9-1. Quinn Ewers is 9-1 for the Heisman. So is Michael Penix. And then everybody else is double digits. By the way, Shador 18-1 now. Travis Hunter 35-1. So Doak Walker, Blake Corum of Michigan, is the co-short shot with Audra Kostime of Notre Dame at 7-1. Biletnikoff Award, Marvin Harrison of Ohio State is the short shot at plus 450. And then Bear Bryant, Deion Sanders. Wow. Deion Sanders and Steve Sarkisian of Texas are the co-short shots at 5-1. Your boy Mike Norvell, Norvell at 6-1. Deion. Do you imagine Deion going to be Coach of the Year in college football?
I mean.
Or get that Bear Bryant Award anyway?
Okay. We'll probably hit on this at some point anyway, later this week. But DeMar Hamlin, we talked about what did you need to do to win Comeback Player of the Year, right?
Yes.
How many wins does Deion Sanders have to get to?
I think if you get to a bowl game, I think if you get to a bowl game, you're probably.
Yeah, but everybody and their mother gets to a bowl game.
Yeah, but the, what was their season win total? Three and a half?
Yeah. So you think bowl game's good enough?
Okay.
Like, do you still have to have 6 wins? I don't even know if you have to have 6 wins anymore. Sometimes they're just like, yeah, we need one more person.
Well, no, if they don't have enough teams that get to six, they have to shove you in.
Yeah.
Come here, 5-7.
All right, I'll go with 6 wins. I think, I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, as long as you keep winning. As long as you keep winning.
I think you got to go more than 6 wins. Like, I think you got to be well above 500.
You might be right about that. This is thank you for that, Jesse Welch, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think you need to make the playoffs, though, to your point. Like, that win total was so low.
Dude, let's relax on the playoffs. Right. Danny, this is Pocket_10. Is the Cy Young a regular season award, or is the postseason considered as well? It is a regular season award, Danny. Only the regular season matters. And so we have another question. Gilly, can Gallen actually still win this? Let's say he goes 8 and a third shutout tonight, 3 hits, 10-ish Ks. Is he not right back in it? Can he win it? Listen, it's awards. None of us knows anything, ultimately, or what award voters are prioritizing. But in the same way that Spencer Strider threw a one-hit complete game shutout today, is he back in it? I don't know. So there's scenarios for all these guys where it's like, oh, could he be back in it? I suppose.
And the biggest thing is what you say. It's voting. As much as you and I talk about this stuff on shows and all the shows of the network talk about it's award voting. Betting, it is still voting. Yeah. Like, it is completely up to these voters, and those odds have not changed since yesterday.
No.
-220 on Blake Snell, Justin Steele +150, Zach Allen 8-1.
It's a good question about Dion, though. What would they have to do? I think maybe 7 wins. You're right. I think if you slip into a bowl game,
I think 7 wins.
It's still way
you're
above
in the
it.
Conversation.
But 7 wins, like getting the 7th win means nothing, right? Like it's that's so anyway.
Again, voters.
Voters. What do we know? AFC East, AFC North. We just sort of picked these two divisions because some tumult, if you will, in both of those divisions based on preseason expectations of what happened, what went down in week number one. Shall we start with the AFC East, sir? Where the Dolphins obviously won the shootout with the Chargers, their defense showing up just in the nick of time on that last Chargers sequence to preserve the win even after a missed Jason Sanders extra point. They win that game 36-34. They're now the short shot at +135, a tick shorter than the Buffalo Bills, who obviously snatched defeat from the jaws of victory somehow against the Jets on Monday night. They're +145 at DraftKings. And then you have the aforementioned Jets now. They went from +240 with Aaron Rodgers to even after that win, 6-1, now with Zach Wilson at the helm. And the Patriots, who by any measure looked better than most expected, some really expected them to cover this game. Those of us who didn't, though, certainly had our eyes opened by the Patriots' performance. They're the long shot at 9-1. We actually asked this question of Drew, I believe it was yesterday. Was it Drew that we asked this of? Like, where's the value here?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, was it Drew? I don't know.
Drew brought it up kind of on his own.
Maybe he did. Yeah, yeah. But he said, where's the value? It's 9-1 on the Patriots. So, I mean, would I bet that? I would not. I do not believe there is a bettable number here. How about that?
I don't for right now, that's what I was just thinking in my head. I don't think there is either right now. Because almost, if you're looking at the Dolphins, how much shorter are they really going to get if they beat the Patriots this week? I don't think they get that much shorter, especially since you're kind of writing in a W for the Bills, right? Now, if the Dolphins lose, they're 2-point road favorites in New England. Like, they could easily lose that game. I get that. So I wouldn't be rushing to bet the Dolphins yet. I think there's better points. We talk about this all the time, but there's – I think so many great in-season bets to be made in almost every sport we talk about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, NBA, NFL, college football, I don't care what it is. That's why we always talk about these divisions, win totals, updated win totals, stuff like that. I think you got to go through the Dolphins schedule, try to figure out where the point to jump in is. I don't think it's this week, though.
We also, like, you know, after week one, and we're going to show a John Ewing tweet here coming up in a minute, but you know, later on the show. But week one, obviously, you don't want to be too influenced. You want to overreact to what you saw. As a group of four teams, is there a more confusing division than after what you saw week one? I mean, the Dolphins, sure, great offensively. I get they were playing the Chargers, but do we know if their defense is any good at all? We don't.
I think their defense is very ungood. Very ungood.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Bidlin. Very
Florida State
ungood.
Education.
Bills. the Bills, who we, you know, we consider before the season to be one of the elite teams in the NFL, if not like a tick below the elitist of the elite, they end up, they find a way to lose to the Jets. Josh Allen looks shaky. So I don't know. Is it the priors? Was it what we saw in week one? The Jets, obviously, now the biggest change at quarterback. So great defense. Oh, God, what could the offense be with Zach Wilson? And then the Patriots, was that a great performance because the Eagles didn't play anybody in the preseason? And will the Eagles just bounce back, and that was just a sort of aberrational performance by them against the Patriots? Maybe the Patriots look better than they actually are. I don't know. So there's not a bet I would make
here. I think this, yeah, it is. Well, I disagree with you in the fact that I think the division we're going to talk to next is is the most muddled. This one is, sorry, but we hit on the first segment. Aaron Rodgers is gone. This is a two-team race to me now. I'm not high on the Patriots. I have unders bets on their win totals.
Yeah.
Did they impress me week one? Yes, they impressed me week one. Do I think, though, that there's some in-between from what we saw week one and what they really are? Yes, I do.
Well, let's go to the AFC North, what Kelly was just referencing right there, where the Browns beat a Bengals team that, you know, is that the Bengals team that we're – that we, you know, are going to accept as that's the real Bengals team? I don't think so.
No.
I think that's just a one-game aberrational performance. I could be very wrong. But look how bunched it is, right? The Ravens are 2-1. Okay, they rolled the Texans. They didn't do anything that impressive. They lose J.K. Dobbins with the torn Achilles.
Multiple injuries for the Ravens,
yeah.
Yep.
The Browns beat the Bengals. Deshaun Watson didn't look any good. They're 2-1. The Bengals, as I just mentioned, plus 245. And then the Steelers, who are in the rear at plus 750, do you believe the gap between those other three teams and the Steelers is that wide? I actually don't.
Okay.
I could be proven completely wrong
about
that.
And I understand. I think most people would say that. I think these odds are, as far as where the Steelers line up with the rest of these three teams, I think they're pretty accurate. But, you know, I'm down on the Steelers more than most people. My biggest question here is this the is this the longest we're going to see the Bengals at this season? And is that the, you know, is that the bet you should be jumping on right now? Because of just a overreaction from week one.
If you don't mind having a season-long ticket at plus 245, I mean, maybe. Maybe that's...
That's the only one I'd consider right now. I think I'm higher on the Browns than you. I think that defense is lights out, and I believe in Deshaun Watson at least a little bit more than I believe in, let's say, Russell Wilson bouncing back to looking at a high level. I believe in him a little bit more, but I'm not betting them at 2-1.
No. Anyway, interesting to look at week one, post week one. It's interesting to look at each and every week to see how these change. Remember, try not to be influenced by what you saw last. Recency bias, obviously a huge scourge to your NFL handicapping, more than any other sport, perhaps. Will Hill on the other side, his baseball plays of the day, full day baseball, and week two in the NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the G-Bank Visa Signature Card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the G-Bank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time and 2% on other purchases. G-Bank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/VSiN. g.bank/VSIN. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D here on a numbers game. The Sports Betting Network, being VSIN, of course. Yesterday I talked about how, you know, I went off on sort of college football and how with the transfer portal, college football modelers need to sort of reassess everything that they're doing in college football. There are some things in sports betting, though, that are sort of, you know, tried and true where nothing has changed. There ain't no transfer portal in the NFL after all. And John Ewing over at MGM puts out tweets. We are not a trends show, Kelly. And for those who have listened to a numbers game or watched a numbers game for years and years, you know that about us, where maybe like a given, specifically given times of the year, Dr. Bob, when there used to be four preseason games, after the first preseason game, he had this unbelievable trend that we put out. But there is a trend after week one in the NFL that I think is worthwhile because it does speak to a market overadjustment. And John Ewing at MGM put this out. Let's do the other one first, if you will, the broader one, if you will, because this gives better context. But essentially what it is preying on or what it is specifically focusing in on is, since 2010, teams that lost by double digits in the opener have gone 51-33-3. That's 61% against the spread in week two per BetLabs. And what that, again, speaks to is the reason for that success, I believe, is because the market overadjusts. They see a team lose by double digits. You have one data point on the season, week one result. And so most of the betting public says, oh, my God, they lost by double digits. They suck.
Yep.
And the market reflects that. And so, therefore, it is very exploitable in week two. Who does that apply to this week? What were the teams that lost by double digits? The Seahawks. Who got crushed by the Rams. They're six-point dogs at Detroit. Remember, that was one of the teams I loved on guessing lines, not even focusing on this. The Panthers got crushed by the Falcons. Not really crushed. They sort of handed that game to the Falcons. Panthers are 3.5-point dogs at home versus the Saints. The Bengals, who did get crushed by the Cleveland Browns 24-3, they're 3.5-point favorites versus Baltimore. The Colts somehow ended up losing by double digits. The Jags, they're 1.5-point favorites at Houston. The Steelers, that's a team I like this week. I'm gonna bang my head against the wall with the Steelers again. They got rolled by the Niners. They're 2.5-point dogs against Cleveland. The Texans also apply. They're in that game against the Colts, so it's a little conflict right there in that game. The Bears, +3 at Tampa Bay, who got rolled by Green Bay, the Bears did. And then the Giants, who obviously got destroyed by Dallas on Sunday night, 40-0. They are 5.5-point favorites at Arizona. Remember, they got down to 4 yesterday during the show, and you were like, what the heck? Back to 5.5 on this. So I just think that's a for a show that does not, we don't talk about trends here on the show, but I think that one has some substance to it because of what the market does.
Right.
It overreacts to one data point. Let's bring in Will Hill. Will Hill, who, among other things, ladies and gentlemen, is a hilarious human being, but he is now both the star of the Bear Bets Pod, Chris Felica's podcast operation over there at Fox Sports, and perhaps, you know, even just as important, the star of the Megapod, one of the stars of the Megapod. And let me just say again, thank you to everybody who has been so loyal to the Beating the Book podcast for so many years. Tons of downloads there. It's Will Hill, everybody, at Not The Will Hill. How you doing, man?
Yo, for a show that doesn't give out trends, I just heard a whole lot of trends. I don't know.
Well, we gave you one. But so let me start there. Don't you think there's something to that, though, based on the reasons I just gave?
Yep, and I think, I don't know if you mentioned this too, like when you're 0-1, especially a trend I actually like, and I'm with you, I'm not a big trends person. When you're 0-1 facing a 1-0 team, there's a little bit of that extra, that desperation. Now, it's not as exaggerated anymore because we have the 17th game, we have the 7th wild card, but it used to be, hey, 0-2 is pretty much a death sentence or just short of that. And you get that added element of desperation. And again, the overreaction of, especially when it's an 0-1 versus a 1-0, like, you know, we're all reacting to one bad performance or one good performance. There's a couple that certainly fit that. So I do think it's worthy of mentioning.
What do you like? I know you're going to reveal your picks on the Megapod tomorrow and on the Bear Bets Pod, both college football and pro football. But what are you thinking right now, midweek for week two?
You know, first glance, to me, it's a much better teaser week than it is a side week. And sometimes that makes for, like, you know, boring content. But, man, there's a bunch of these +2 and +2.5 where I don't know who's going to win. I don't really want either side, but I love to tease them up to 8.5. As far as just straight sides, though, to me, I'm just going to sort of copy and paste my analysis last week, Dolphins Chargers, where I said I just don't see how you get a +3 here because these are dead even teams. Home field's not worth 3. Bears Bucks to me applies for that because look, the Bears season win total was 7.5. The Bucks was 6.5. This is what, 10 days ago. And I'm not a Bears guy. I bet them under. But to me, I just don't understand how you get to Bucks by 3 here. That Tampa doesn't have a great home field advantage by any stretch. So to me, this is just a complete overreaction. If you look at Tampa's box score, they only averaged like 3.2 yards per play, I think, against Minnesota. They gave up 6 yards per play. It's hard to imagine how they how they won that game. Cousins was bad in the game. So Bears +3 is certainly one I like.
Kelly, you like the Bucks, huh? You like the Bucks in Survivor?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think this team is frisky. I think and the Bears' offense is nothing that like Minnesota's offense.
Numbers play, though, for you. Just you get in the full 3, you'll take the Bears is what you're saying, Will. It's just a numbers deal on that. Was that the only one that you like? What's your favorite teaser of the bunch then?
Yeah, I mean, I do like Seattle, too. That's another one, same sort of line
too.
Of thinking where it's tough to get to 6, 6.5. This is a matter of when do you bet it because I don't think you'll get a 7. If you do get a 7, it probably won't be there for long. I think I saw some 6.5s pop up. again, I mean, what? Just look at the season win total, which is a nice little baseline. It's not that far ago. We're not, nothing's changed that much since the season win totals were there all spring and all summer. Detroit was at, what, 9, 9.5. Seattle was maybe a tick below that. Again, home field's worth 1.5, something like that. Still, it's hard to get to 6. And I know it was bad. It was ugly for Seattle. And if Geno Smith plays like that, like, we're going to see Drew Lock at some point, because that was a dismal performance. But it would probably be Seattle or nothing. I'm sure Detroit, man, that's another one that's probably going to be a semi-popular survivor play. That's risky. They're all risky. I understand that, but I would take the points here.
Yeah, it's the old – it's, you know, Marco D'Angelo used to say this on the old Megapods. I don't know if he was the first to say it, but he's certainly one who said it a lot, which is, you're never as bad as you look the previous week, and you're never as good as you look the previous week. And that's sort of a good guardrail for newish bettors to just sort of go by as just a basic sort of credo in football, in the NFL, sports betting, that particular league. Because you do, the recency bias is such that you, oh my God, Lions, they went into Kansas City, they got extra rest, oh my God, they couldn't have looked any better, this team is for real, oh my God, and the Seahawks look like crap. Remember what you thought the day before that, or the day before Thursday? Like, if that's completely counter to what you thought, maybe it isn't. Maybe you're like, I knew that was going to happen, but if it's completely counter to what you thought, the inability to remember your thought from the previous day is an incredibly powerful thing.
Two things on that. First of all, if you always just go back at the end of the season, go back to week one, and there's always a bunch of strange things that happened. And you say, wow, how did that happen? Yeah. Like last year was Bears beating the 49ers. So week one is always strange. And this is a strange way to look at it, but it's something I always think about. In football, a touchdown's worth, what, 6-7 points, you know, based on the extra point. So if you lose by 14, it sounds like you got blown out. But if you just kept score of, like, touchdowns, they won 4 touchdowns to 3 or 4 touchdowns to 2. You only lost by 2 touchdowns. So it's a weird way of thinking about it. It's like, wow, they lost by so many points. It's like it was 1 touchdown or 2 touchdowns. Yeah. So, yeah, it's the scores can get away from you and be a little misleading.
What was your line Sunday night when the Cowboys were winning 40-0? You're like, just 40, love. Just 3 points. It's no big deal.
Yeah, rough 24 hours in the Meadowlands.
College football, what do you like this week? What's your first instinct?
Didn't bet a ton of college football. It's an ugly, ugly card. It looks like a lot
so
of points
bad.
With Florida.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to take the points with Florida, but some of these ugly dogs, I'm a little burned because I took Texas Tech last week, got burned with that. NC State was never in the game with Notre Dame. So I'm a little, you know, you put your hand on the stove and you get burned. You're afraid to put your hand near the stove again. So I do like Florida, but it's a light card, at least so far for me. But I'll dig into it later, probably have some stuff.
All right, let me just ask about this about college football, because we did get a tweet about this. We were talking about how DraftKings has Doak Walker up, they have Biletnikoff up, and they have Bear Bryant Coach Award up. This is a great tweet from, and I want to give him credit, this is from, Jay Green, who points out Dion surely is a different beast, but you have to go back to 1994 to find a Bear Bryant winner with less than 10 wins, and that was a winner with 9 wins. So that's the only time that's happened below 10 wins. Do you think voters, and this is just a random question, but do you think that the Dion story could get so big? Let's say they win this week. Let's say they beat Oregon and then they get beat by USC. But let's say they win that game. And then they soar, they coast into a bowl schedule. They end up winning 9. Let's make this interesting. You don't think he'd win it?
I think he'd have a very good chance. Absolutely. I'm sort of, again, putting the thing about putting your hand on the stove and getting burned. Enough of stepping in front of Colorado. They got a lot of talent. You know what? We were dead wrong in terms of the prior rankings and all these adjustments. They're not over adjustments. They're just adjustments.
Yeah. Who's we, Will, in that sentence, by the way? That we
people.
Were dead. People?
Just,
okay.
Just
I'm just
people,
curious.
Yes.
You want to hang and talk baseball with us after the break, sir?
I got nothing else to do, sure.
Hey. Will Hill, everybody, on the other side. We'll talk Major League Baseball, where all those teams, well, the Reds won, but all the other teams going for that third NL wild card spot lost last night. We'll talk about that and more. His picks today, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Football's back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? Well, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Full day Major League Baseball. Will Hill, kind enough to join us for another segment. What did you bet so far? What are you looking to bet today in baseball?
Yeah, I played Tampa Bay on the first five on the money line, minus 125 or so against our boy Dallas Keuchel.
Oh,
now,
boy.
Keuchel's one of these guys you just fade no matter what. It's been really good to me overall, whether it's Syndergaard, Keuchel, Wainwright. It's bitten me a couple times this past week because Wainwright
just man.
Sort of danced between the raindrops last night. Baltimore had been on base all night. They couldn't, I think, or 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position. Really frustrating, but I'm fading Keuchel here. He's not a major league pitcher at this point. So Tampa Bay money line, I'm not opposed to a first five team total over. Just any way you could fade Keuchel, I think, is good. And I did play Arizona with Gallen going against the Mets. Obviously, he hasn't been as good on the road, but he did throw a one-hit shutout the other day in Wrigley against a pretty good Cubs team. So to me, I'll take a pretty short price. I think it's minus 138 or so with Gallen. Of course, shop around those dime lines that used to have at the South Point. Those are harder to find now, but to me, Arizona's a good play here.
Good shout-out to the South Point, by the way. It's funny you say that. Like, I feel like I've watched a lot of ball games the last couple of nights where it has been a runners in scoring position strand fest. Both of the Cleveland-San Francisco games, especially the one two nights ago. And, yes, the Orioles just absolutely couldn't get it done. How about our buddy Steve Fezzik, who has these serial unders on teams like the Royals and the Athletics? The Royals win last night, almost coughed up a 9-0 lead. Well, they did at one point. It got to 9-9, but then they end up winning. And then the A's with their second straight win against the Astros. Uh-oh.
I think he's got good enough numbers where they're still not going to threaten, but I don't know, like, you know, his portfolio, but those are ones you're not counting on. Two straight wins in Houston as, like, you know, $3 underdogs. So yeah. How many wins top of my head? I think they got like 45, something like
45,
that.
45. Like, for the A's 40. Well, hold on. Let me make sure I got this right. 45. No, 46 for the A's, 45 for the Royals after last night. So it is a reminder, though, because we always bring this up, like, as bad as teams start out the season, and it happens, seems like it happens every year now, where some team is just rotten to begin with. No matter what, these teams figure out a way to get to 50, don't they?
They do. It's interesting. It was under 54.5 for Kansas City at the All-Star break, and I played their under, and they had a 7-game winning streak right out of the All-Star break, and
yes.
They're still probably not going to come close to this number, so... I don't know. You know, all these models factor that in. Like, you mentioned Baseball Reference and FanGraphs. Like, they've always had Oakland, Kansas City in like the mid 50s all year. I don't think they're getting there. I mean, Oakland
much.
Nobody has these updated, but probably, I don't know, 48, 49, 50, something like that. 49 wins.
Yeah,
I'd have to guess.
Yeah, I even mentioned to Kelly with like the week after we did that stuff, because I had never done the FanGraphs Baseball Reference thing. Like, if you believe Baseball Reference, this would be a good bet. They're so locked into their priors. Like, they keep them throughout the whole season. Like, you got to slough them. Something in your model has to slough those off. Otherwise, you just have some wacky percentages that happen with that. I'll ask you what I asked of Paul Sporer yesterday, which is taking a look specifically at the American League wild card situation and where that stands. You have the Rangers, the Mariners, and the Blue Jays. Three teams vying for one spot. Obviously, the top of the AL West could change, but let's say it's Houston that gets there in the end. It would be then, again, the Rangers, Mariners, and Blue Jays vying for one spot. The Rangers have a half-game lead over both the Mariners and Blue Jays for that position. Who gets there in the end, sir?
I'll say the last team out, the team without a chair here, is Texas, and I think that's still a good bet, plus 250. And, you know, we talk every week about how these teams are so hot and so cold in both these wildcard races, and it's counterintuitive, but... if you just bet on the team when they're in one of these losing streaks and you bet against the team when they're hot, you'd have some really nice numbers in your pocket.
It's here. Very
where
true.
Some of these teams, they go to $4, you know, favorites to make the playoffs and $4 underdogs. Like, there's been some massive swings here. And if you, again, it goes against your thought process where you're like, hey, this team's hot, let me bet on them. But if you bet against the hot team and on the team that's playing poorly, you'd have some really nice numbers. But right now, I think Texas still has, what, 7 games against Seattle. Scherzer got hurt last night, which is a shocker. I mean, he's always banged up at the end of these years.
Total shocker. Yeah,
he's going for an MRI. It was a tricep spasm, something like that. So, I mean, that doesn't probably sound good.
Well, it was bad because he was like, I cannot. And that guy never says right off the bat, I cannot. Yeah.
Right. So I would take Texas plus 250 to miss.
And you're right, by the way. I misspoke. One of those teams gets two of the three get into the postseason. You're saying Texas currently on a 4-game win streak. Would be the odd team out. And by the way, again, when you look at like run differential in baseball, the notion that a team with a plus 151 run differential would miss the postseason, and then, you know, we could have a team in the National League with a negative run differential get into the postseason. And speaking of that, in the National League, let's say the Phillies and the Cubs get there, which is still a let's say because there's still enough runway where those teams could gack it too. But right now the Phillies are in number one. The Cubs have a 2-game lead over the third wildcard position. That third wildcard position is separated 4 teams by 1.5 games. Diamondbacks with a 1-game lead over the Reds and a 1.5 game lead over the Giants and Marlins. It's really only 1 game in the loss column. Who is the team that gets in from that bunch of 4?
I'm against the all these extra wild cards, but this is a lot of fun. I will say Arizona is the team that gets the final spot, but look, this is a betting show in terms of like what's the best bet.
Yes,
you're gonna like this one. The Giants at 3-1 to make it.
Bang!
I mean, come on, they're right. That number shocked me.
Yes,
that number really surprised me when I looked this morning. That plus 300 to make the playoffs, to me, it's you know, you can talk me into any of these teams. It's who gets hot late. I'd only say Arizona makes it because Gallen at the top, Kelly's back, and they've got a bunch, you know, they've got some bats. So I just think there's some stability at the top, and they do have the 1-game lead, which, I mean, it's not a lot, but there's not that many games left. So I think Arizona makes it, but I think the Giants, just bang for your buck, is the best bet, if that makes sense.
Well, and that's what I'm driving at, is what's the best bet? That's what I asked of Spore yesterday. And the reason that the Giants are 3-1, and shop around, because you'll see some plus 240s and that kind of thing, is that they do have 7 games left against the L.A. Dodgers, 4 on the road, 3 to close the season at the Theater of Thrills that is Oracle Park. So there's that. But they have 5 games here, 1 more against the Guardians, they have 4 at Colorado, and then they have a really important 2-game set against the Diamondbacks, and I've mentioned this on the show before. They own all tiebreakers against every team of that bunch. They have it on intra-division record against the Marlins. The Diamondbacks 2-game series is going to be the key because right now it's 6-5 Giants. If the D-backs won both of those games, the D-backs would get the tiebreaker. But if the Giants win just one of them, they split. It's the Giants who have the tiebreaker over everybody. So keep that in mind. We're at the point now with only like, you know, what is it, anywhere between 14 to 16 games left in a season, or 15, 16, 17 left in a season. 16 to 18 left in the season, where that matters now in your bets. That incremental advantage matters. So keep that in mind, both in the American and the National League.
I will just say, yes. Let me just jump in. It is a war crime that there's no tiebreaker games anymore. That's one of my favorite things in baseball.
I agree.
When they're tied, they play like those day games, game 163. Those are so much fun, and they've gotten rid of them. It's just, I don't know, for whatever reason, but it's too bad.
Non-baseball guy here.
Yeah.
Why'd they get rid of those? I'm totally with Will. Those are awesome. What's the tiebreaker now?
Because they just don't want to mess the schedule up as the playoffs begin that much more.
Those were always cool. What is it, just head-to-head record or something?
Well, so it's head-to-head. This is what I was going to get at. Head-to-head makes sense, right? That should be the first tiebreaker.
No, it's not.
But it is.
Okay.
But the second tiebreaker is the dumb one. The second tiebreaker is intra-division record, not inter,
that's
intra.
Ridiculous. That's
so
absurd.
The Giants' record in the NL West, so the Giants and the Marlins are tied 3 apiece. They finished their season split 6 games. But the Giants' record in the NL West is far better than the Marlins' record in the NL East. And so the Giants get in based on that nonsense. It's really stupid. Really dumb. Did you know that was even the second tiebreaker?
I was somewhat aware of it. I remember 2018, there was like a 4-way tie where there was 2 different playoffs, then 2 playoff games. The next inning was Cubs Brewers.
Yeah.
Rockies Dodge. I mean, that was so much fun. I mean, typical baseball, just draining all the fun out of it. I know we're running out of time. I should have mentioned these with my football bets.
Please.
I did 2 like future ones. To me, Jags minus 190 to win that division is cheap. I don't know what the Titans are doing with that schedule. They might, you know, move on from Tannehill. And look, if Arizona gets the 4 wins, you beat me, you beat me. That's one I'm willing to lose. Under 3.5 is still plus money at DraftKings. Washington tried to give them the game away, and they still couldn't win. So
yeah.
I still don't think that team's getting the 4 wins.
I agree with you so much on that Jags bet. Like, you know, most newish bettors will hear minus 190, and they're like, oh, minus 190. Value's value, man. Value's value. That represents value. Will, plug away, sir.
Bear Bets podcast on Fox tomorrow, and then twitch.tv/GoBoys Network, 1 o'clock Eastern today. And the Megapod, let's do it.
My man. Will Hill, everybody, at Not The Will Hill. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, as always. We'll talk to Will tomorrow. You know who's the guest on the Megapod with Will Todd and me?
Who you got?
Adam Chernoff.
Oh, big, big one. Listen to his pod this morning.
In the hizzy. We'll come back. DK Network, Dan Le Batard next.